Actually, this is a funny story. So when I first started writing, I didn't tell anybody. My family didn't know, nobody. And I went home for Christmas one year, and my little sister was telling me about this poet named Atticus that she was following, and how she printed off one of my poems and put it on her wall.
Oh, honey.
Welcome to the Oh Honey podcast,
where you get the sticky and the sweet with Summer
and Amanda
and Atticus.
Hi.
So Atticus is a poet, if you didn't know it.
Oh.
Bars.
How long have you been thinking about saying that the whole
actually,
time? I'm about to say this.
Yeah, I know. I planned this for weeks. I'm going to say that.
Very well prepared.
The only thing you wanted to do today.
So I'm going to just, for our listeners that aren't seeing the visual yet, Atticus has a very stunning mask on.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and we do not see his face or his hair, but we do see his hands.
So. Nice hands.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're kind of dirty now that I look at them a little closer.
Great nails, by the way.
Thank you.
So why the mask?
Why the mask? Yeah, is usually the first question. I started writing poetry about 5 years ago, and I was actually in Paris, and I was walking along, and I saw something that I thought was beautiful, and I was like, I'm just going to write about it. I felt kind of moved to write, and I put it on my phone, and I just started... I'm like, I'm just going to post it. I'm going to put it on Instagram and share it. And I wanted to do it anonymously so I could remind myself to write what I feel and not what I think I should feel, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like challenge myself to be vulnerable and to really tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I chose to wear the mask.
And that helps you with being more, I guess... genuine with your poetry?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always a challenge, and it's a constant battle for me to be vulnerable and to be truthful and to like really talk about what I truly feel.
Mm-hmm.
But the mask helps me do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's awesome. And maybe not care what people think.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Because it's like no one's judging you. It's just you know.
No, and, it's true.
And with your popularity too, as you're growing, it's like you don't really have to. You can just. Take it off when you're done and you just want to be
not famous.
Whoever you are and then walk around and
yeah. We were actually talking about this before we started rolling, but Bill Murray has this quote that's, if you want to become famous, become rich first and see if you still want to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very powerful.
Yeah. You're like, I get it. Makes sense.
I get it.
So why did...
He's like Hannah Montana.
He's just like Hannah Montana.
That is what I should say next time. I'm just kind of like Hannah Montana.
Yeah, you know? Like, oh.
Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Disney fan. Disney?
Disney. Okay.
Come on. So you always kind of written poetry, or you just randomly got into it one day?
I didn't write poetry growing up. I didn't, you know, it's kind of surprising that I do write. It surprises me that I do write poetry. You know, I grew up in Canada and
Canadians.
You know,
yeah. Love Canadians.
Oh, thank you. We love you. and we, you know, growing up, you play rugby, you chainsaw, you motorcycle, you know, poetry was not in my realm. And then I had this chance encounter with a guy named Michael Madsen. Do you know who that is? He's like the bad guy from Kill Bill.
Oh, cool.
He's the bad guy in the Justin Bieber music video. He's just
always the bad guy.
Always the bad guy. And he was just one of the most profound people I'd ever met. And he's like an American badass. And he was telling me about how he wrote poetry and how it saved his life.
Mm.
And that kind of was the first time it gave me permission to start exploring poetry.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So how has that helped you in your life?
It's helped me be more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Not only in Atticus, but also in my relationships, which has revolutionized my relationships.
In what way?
I grew up with a weird relationship, right? Weird in relationships. I think a lot of guys do this. They have these defenses up.
Mm-hmm.
And girls do it too. But you put up these defenses and you never let yourself be vulnerable because you never let yourself, like, you know, for fear of being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you protect yourself. It's self-preservation. And what I realized getting out of some of these relationships was that I never really connected. I never really got to that next level. And in this, my more recent relationship, you know, that's changed. I went into it with kind of like a more open heart. I'm going to be like, I'm going to put it all on the line here. And in that way, you know, we've been able to reach a new level that I didn't even know existed, mm-hmm. you know, of trust, of connection.
Yeah, because it became, you being vulnerable allows you to be, I think, even more honest and genuine. And it's just like, it helps everything overall because it all kind of ties together. So I think that's all good for you.
Yeah. I mean, and it is. It's imperfect and it's a struggle, but you just do your best, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have this thing that we do, and it's called the Honey Pot.
Oh.
And this is where our honeybees write in diary entries, and we give them our best advice.
Oh.
So.
Cute. We do what we can.
We try our best.
Why do I always get the huge one?
You chose it.
No, but it was the only one.
There's a little baby one in there, too, and I'm just super excited about that.
Oh. Wow. Well.
Oh. Enjoy. Oh, honey.
Okay. This says, Summer, you are my biggest inspiration in life, hands down. I've been following you and obsessed since I was 15 years old. High school was the hardest thing for me, and I battled depression and anxiety, and seeing you and how free-spirited you are helped me smile and laugh when I needed it most. I got into lifting because you inspired me. I start college next year in the fall, and one piece of advice I'm seeking is how do I transform into who I am supposed to be when I'm scared? I'm scared of failure, not making any friends, and not going through and going through depression again. I'm scared of not being who I want to be and losing myself. It's hard to grow up and be happy, and that is my question for you. Lots of love, Brittany from Oklahoma.
Aww.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Cute.
Being a follower, Summer.
Yeah, I know, she's a girl the whole time. I'm like, is it a guy? Is it a guy? I'm like, oh, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Isn't that amazing that you're both of you are just changing people's lives and you don't even realize it? That
I
kind
know,
of
right?
Ripple.
Sometimes, yeah. Like, we're like me. Sometimes I'm like, why do I do what I do? No one loves me.
And then you
like,
get these notes.
And then I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I needed this yesterday.
Yeah. That is we're like, so what's amazing. A good note for Summer today?
Here's a good note for Summer. She's going down. But, that's the sweetest thing ever, and I love inspiring
so
people.
Cute.
And for her, it's like, I feel like even, it doesn't matter if you're going to start college or anything in life, we all sometimes feel afraid of failure.
Yeah.
Every single, even when you're 100 years old, you're going to be scared of failure.
Yeah.
And it's just like believing in yourself. And it's a hard to do because even me, sometimes I'm, and when people are like, oh, I love Summer, she's so free to be herself and stuff. And it's like, I'm so happy that people feel that way about me because mm-hmm. sometimes I'm like, crap, I don't think I'm doing that.
It's but a then, great reminder for you.
Yeah, it is because yeah. it's like, sometimes I'm like, oh crap,
yeah.
am I doing that for people? Like, am I inspiring them? Am I? And then it's like, wow, I really am. Even though sometimes the best of us get down on ourselves and don't feel like we're enough and don't feel like we're doing stuff for people or like don't feel like we're being the best versions of ourselves, but mm-hmm. it's so sweet.
Oh, pretty.
What is your advice for her going into college and being scared of, like she's scared of failure, not making any friends and going through depression again?
Yeah.
Did you go to college?
I did go to college, mm-hmm. yeah. I would say that one of the most important things to remember is that you're not alone in this. You're never alone, and that everyone is going through these journeys and their own journeys. And, you know, particularly with depression, you're certainly not the only person feeling this way and the fear of failure. And the best thing to do is just to keep moving forward, because that, like, at the end of the day, it's just life, and you're doing it right just by living. You know, you just keep going, and it all does work out, and it does get better, and you become more confident. And failure's a good thing. It's like the more failures you have, the more successes you'll have, and that's just a fact. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta have some failures to get these successes. And it's just getting used to that. Yeah. Winston Churchill had a quote that said, life is just going from failure to failure. Life is just going from failure to failure until you find success.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think it's understanding, which is a great quote. I think it's just understanding that it's a part of the process.
Yeah.
You know, just accepting that, and then you're going to be like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You know, that happens. And it sucks sometimes, and it can make you feel down, but if you just accept that, then it just lightens it a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I can deal with this.
Yeah, you just learn from your failures. So yeah. We're all perfect our whole lives, so we never fail. We're never going to learn. So.
Totally. You guys must get the cutest messages.
Yeah, and it ranges. Yeah, for sure. Little roller coaster in there.
No, for sure. And like for her, being scared of making friends and stuff is like, if she's just being her, who she is, like the right people will come in. And
that's
just gotta
so true.
Stay true to yourself and be you and not try to be someone else to make friends or be the cool girl to be friends with the cool people, you know? Just be you.
Yeah.
Brittany, just be you and the right people will be your friend.
That's true.
And that's who you want to be your friend.
Yeah.
So
facts.
True.
Facts on facts.
I have some
facts.
More questions about your relationships.
Oh.
So when you find a new girl to date or that you're dating, or are you dating somebody now?
I'm dating, yeah.
Okay. So when you were dating around before to find this girl that you're dating now, right? Because you would go on dates or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So when you're doing that, obviously you don't wear the mask.
No.
Right. And then when
he shows up to the date, the girls are just like, oh my God.
He's like trying to eat like around it.
Straw. Like, yeah. Just freaking out people. Yeah. It'd be terrifying.
Find some interesting females.
That would be like a good like thing to like see what girls would stay.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of girls would just be like, what the fuck? You're like scared. Like,
no,
you
should, kidding.
You should do it just for being and be like, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
It's a joke. But for the date, it's a joke.
Yeah.
But when you meet them, you tell them about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And that you're a poet.
And I don't actually usually tell people that I'm a poet.
Really?
Not right away, because I do try to keep it anonymous. And you know, when I get to know someone, and or I trust someone, I'm fine about it.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Because if, like, when going on dates, if you're revealing that you're a poet and then you don't call them back for a second date, and then they just go online and be like, I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no.
Reveal identity.
Yeah.
He is now vulnerable.
Look at him.
Yeah.
But the girl you're with now knows, obviously.
Yeah, she knows.
It's still a secret from her.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Has that ever been like a situation for you?
It's been interesting. I've met people and I've not told them, and then I find out that they know or something. Actually, this is a funny story. So when I first started writing, I didn't tell anybody. My family didn't know, nobody. And I went home for Christmas one year, and my little sister was telling me about this poet named Atticus that she was following, and how she'd printed off one of my poems and put it on her wall. And I just thought that was so, so funny. She'd been following me for 2 years. And
really?
I had no idea.
2 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just glad she didn't like message me love notes or anything, because
you're like, oh,
so
yeah, that
bad.
Would be weird.
Yeah,
that could get weird.
Unblocked.
So you waited 2 years from when you started posting, or like maybe even longer?
Before I told my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did they think? What did they think it was the coolest thing?
Oh, they loved it.
Yeah.
My mom loved it. I actually dedicated my second book to my mom.
Oh,
was
really?
Very happy about that. Yeah.
Oh, like your poetry book?
Yeah.
And with her name in it.
Just to my mom.
I'm like, how do we?
Yeah, how do
I love mysteries, so it's fun. I'm like, how do we crack this code? But if it ever did get to a point, because you know how there's like painters and stuff, or you know artists like Alec Monopoly.
Yeah.
How he would always cover half of his face, and he still does for photos and stuff too. But and even Marshmello, like yeah. the DJ, I feel like people now know who they are,
yeah.
Because you know it's hard to keep something a secret.
No, totally.
For so long.
Do you think people know who Marshmello is?
Yeah, if you Google it, you can find out.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. And he's kind of open about it. Yeah. I mean, and I kind of feel the same way. It's like for me, it's not precious. It's not this thing like I'm so worried about it.
Yeah.
It's just it's become more of like a symbol to remind myself to be vulnerable and remind myself that it's not about who I am. It's about the words. And if you connect with the words, that's great. If you don't, then that's okay too.
Yeah, right. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's probably similar for them too. I mean, maybe for Marshmello. He could just DJ multiple places, and then it's more like a business strategy.
Well, the thing is, people in LA, we all know who it is, but I'm saying the general public, like the people really know who he is. Oh, I thought it was a mystery still. I was like, good job keeping it a mystery.
No, I'm sure some people like still like haven't gone on their computer and like searched into it, but if you really want to know.
All the little girls who are obsessed with him, they're probably like, oh my God, it is Marshmello.
Yeah.
There's also in these situations I find is that sometimes it's a nice thing not to know.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I get messages a lot of the time that, of people being like, you know, I don't want to know because now you could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And actually I was giving this talk with my mask on and this woman came up after me one time and she's like, I don't know why you chose that mask in particular, but I think it's beautiful the fact that it's reflective so people can see themselves in you. I was like, wow, that's what cool. A beautiful thing to say.
Yeah.
I didn't choose it for that reason, but I'm going
to
tell people.
Yeah, exactly. I was about
to
say.
Oh my God, thank you.
Definitely why I did that.
100%. That's why I chose this mask.
That's a good Yeah.
And
don't tell anyone else that happened. Just now tell them.
Yeah, we'll just bleep all that out.
Bleep. You should just like, guys, I chose this so you guys can see reflection in me.
Yeah. And we'd be like,
aww. Oh, no.
Do you notice you have a lot of female followers or male or kind of like even?
It does vary, but I do have a lot of female followers. I guess not surprisingly.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's more, I think women just in general are more in touch with their emotions and like I do write about emotions and love more often.
Come on, guys.
I know.
Get emotional.
Catch up, boys.
We love it.
Yeah, but it does range, and I have these, you know, a lot of male followers who are really incredible, and a lot of like young male writers who are like, I want to write too.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing when somebody's like, you know, you inspired me to write.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like same with both of you. I'm sure you get these messages. People went, you inspired me to do this. You inspired me to do that, and that just ripples out.
And I think it's so sweet of those people too that take the time to write. The people that inspired them.
Yeah.
Like also it's like, all right, you took the time to find the email, like write this whole like letter.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so sweet.
How beautiful, right? How meaningful.
It is so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best. But so when you were searching for, I guess, do you search, was it important for you to have a girlfriend? To have like somebody to date or were you good on your own?
That's a really, really good question. So I was in a relationship for a long time, 4 years, and it was very tumultuous. It was like really up and down, and I wrote a book about it. You know, that was my first book. It was dedicated to her, and it was like I owed her a lot of those words.
To girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ex-girlfriend.
To girlfriend.
I know your books are called The Dark Between Stars and Love Her Wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I have my third book's coming out in September 10th. It's called The Truth About Magic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but I got out of that relationship and right away I was like, I need to get in another relationship. I really need to I couldn't be alone. And I was just like, it was kind of like hectic. And so I was like, started like these, you know, superficial relationships, you know, you just kind of jump into it. It's the, a classic rebound kind of thing. And then slowly I found that I just like wasn't connecting with these people. I was on, you know, I was doing the whole even dating app thing. Like,
Like, all right, new one tonight.
Yeah.
New one tonight.
Swipe. swipe or wait.
Yeah, you have these kind of conversations. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. It's true. And you start spreading yourself so thin over these people. And
generic conversations.
And it's like, there's no like connection, no mm-hmm. real human connection. And I think that's a really dangerous thing. And what I found was like, I'm not having connection with any of these people. I'm just going to work on myself. And so I'm just like, I just kind of like, I'm not going to date anybody for a while. Mm-hmm. And I just started working on myself and like business and like, and just growth and writing and you know, meeting people and traveling. And what I found, it was interesting. I was sailing and I brought some friends sailing, and there was this girl that was sailing, and she was like beautiful and smart and everything, but I didn't really think anything of it because I was like, I'm not looking for a girl. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just stayed in touch, and she was like around us a lot, and it took me so long to be like, oh my God, like this girl is great. Mm-hmm. You know, this girl is incredible, because I was so working on myself still and so like not in the headspace of dating.
Yeah.
But I truly believe that the best way to find a real partner is to come into a relationship as a whole person and not someone who's like looking to fill some of your gaps with mm-hmm. someone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we say that all the time, is like when you find the person like that you're meant to be with, it always is unexpected. It's not like when you're out looking like, oh my God, I don't mm-hmm. want to be single, I need someone so bad, and then you're like looking. It's like when you just are like, hey, well, actually, I don't need anyone, I'm going to work on myself. That's when they come.
That's irresistible to people. It is.
It's like, they love it. It attracts like the best people.
It's insane. You know, mm-hmm. when you don't need someone, or like when you're into your own thing or your passions and you're just so excited about life, mm-hmm. that's when people find you irresistible.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it's contagious.
You're yeah. Like, oh. I'm batting way out of my league.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of this.
Yeah. Well, even when you were able to just focus on yourself, did you notice outside of just, you know, girlfriend and those sorts of relationships, like relationships and friendships too, did those change at all?
Or? Yeah, no, definitely. I became like hyper aware of like what were toxic relationships and what were like unhealthy relationships. And I really started surrounding myself with people that I aspired to be more like.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even when I saw you recently, it was at the Kimball Musk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The plant to seed day.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
hey. It's so funny.
Yeah. But which are great people.
Insanely great people doing, yeah. you know, great things. You know, mm-hmm. Kimball is, you know, founded SpaceX and Tesla with Elon. And like, they're really insane people changing the world.
Yeah.
But I find them very, you know, inspirational
mm-hmm.
and aspirational.
That whole family, May,
I mean,
everybody.
It's out of control.
Yeah. It's like... Blessed to know them.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's so great. That's what a lot of people like struggle with in their lives, I feel like, is finding the love for themselves.
Yeah.
So, but you were able to find that, I guess, love
yeah.
for yourself through focusing on your passions, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of is what got you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's underrated. It's just like, it was exactly like you were saying. You know, when you go after your passions, like things you actually like enjoy and they're true to who you are, that's when, you know, your truest self comes out, and people really jump onto that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're just everybody, like they say, everybody else is taken, so be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It is so powerful, so much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you say your priorities in life are?
Well, actually, I read this study, and I don't know if you've read it, but it's the Harvard Happiness Study. Have you read this?
Mm-mm.
No, it's they say it's the most extensive study on happiness that's ever been done.
Oh, wow.
And it was over 300 grads over 75 years.
So we're gonna get the Cliff Notes right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, Cliff Notes.
Love Cliff Notes.
But basically, they studied these 300 people of happiness, and they measure them every couple years, over 75 years. It's been going on forever, you know? And what they found exclusively was there's three things that were that led to happiness. And the first one was quality of relationships. Number one, above everything else, was just like love. It was like your quality of relationships with your family, with your friends, with your community, with your tribe. You know, that meant everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one was job fulfillment. Do you feel like you're useful in the world? Do you feel like you get up every morning and you're like, this is something that makes me feel like I'm contributing to society?
I think purpose.
Purpose, exactly. And then the third one was health, because it's almost impossible to be happy without health.
You know? As I cough.
Yeah.
I'm like, clear my throat.
Yeah, exactly.
Ironic. Yeah. Yeah. So would you say, in looking into that a little bit deeper, would you say if somebody somebody has cancer, are they unable to be happy?
No, not. I think they say when you, like, someone who gets paralyzed can still reach like a huge level of happiness because your equilibrium kind of goes to that level. Mm. I think the cancer certainly, like, especially if you're going through treatment and everything like that, it does hurt your happiness.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, you know,
strong,
if you're still,
other elements.
Yeah, still purpose and relationships, I'm sure you can still reach like real happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And acceptance too. I think it's like, all right, like, you know, there's a difference between like, you know, temporary health issues too and then long-term health issues. It's just like, all right, like, yeah, if I can fix this, I'm going to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do my best to fix it. And that's going to make me feel good because I'm taking care of myself. And that's self-love. And that feels good. That's
100%.
One of the best relationships you could have is with yourself. And then also accepting, being like, okay, like, this is my situation. I'm blessed in so many other ways. And I can be happy just knowing that. And like just seeing life in that light. I think it's all about angles too of how you look at things.
Yeah.
It's like a lot, most of it.
It's weird because sometimes, you know, like cancer kids, like they're always like so happy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm like, how can you be so happy? But it's just like maybe they see like life in a different light. Like they're happy for each day that they're alive.
I feel like it's a roller coaster for sure. Cause it's like happy and then not feeling so well.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And so it's just like, okay, like, but the fact that they're able to get to that point of happiness is like inspiring. Like, what are we ever going to be sad about?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
We're so lucky. Well, let's dive back into the honeypot. And if you guys want to send in your diary entries, please do. And send it into diary@ohhoneydiary.com. We have so much fun giving you guys our best advice.
Our best advice.
Disclaimers all around. All right.
Yeah, that one's so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
I like reading the little ones.
Oh, honey, I have this friend that I confide in quite a bit, and now I think I have some sort of feelings for her, but deep down inside, I know I'm not over my ex. What should I do?
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Atticus. He's like, that's, I don't know what you should do.
You think you're not over your ex. I mean, I wouldn't jump into anything. I would just, like, they say when you're in those situations, it's good to seek, you know, just seek and, like, you know, explore. Mm-hmm. Explore both. Explore why you might have feelings for your ex still and explore these new feelings. Mm-hmm. They don't have to, you know, if you're broken up, you're in full right to explore your feelings with this person. But it could, like we were talking about before, be a rebound. You know, you're looking just to like jump back into something because something's missing from yourself. But
if you were ever to meet a girl that was incredible, you thought was amazing, but you still had feelings for your past relationship, but you know that's over, that's done.
Yeah.
You're not going back to that. Because normally that's what you do with exes. You don't really, you're not supposed to.
Not supposed to.
Go back, but yeah, most people do. So would you say, oh, well, I still have feelings for my ex, so I'm not going to ask this girl to go, you know, on dates and do these things?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, they're separate things in some ways.
Mm.
If I was pretty sure that relationship was not going to work, and you know, I have feelings for all my exes in one degree or another, but it doesn't mean I can't have a new relationship with somebody else.
Mm.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would start exploring it, like you said.
Yeah.
I would like do the dates and see how much I really like them, and if it overpowered the like for my ex, I'd be like, all right.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this just went up the last relationship already. Is this great? You know, I think that would be my honest strategy.
Yeah.
Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know.
Right or wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you believe in soulmates?
I believe that there's, to some degree, I do. Yeah, and I do also believe that there's lots of soulmates for lots of, you know, for everybody.
So I feel we all like have like a pot full of them.
Yeah.
Different versions.
Yeah. Right. I don't think there's like one person for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can have an incredible life and relationship with any number of people in existence.
Do you believe in monogamy?
I do, yeah. I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of old fashioned in that respect. And I think that the structure of relationships needs to change and get updated a bit. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in monogamy.
Yeah. How do you think they should change?
It's hard to say. I think you got to find what works for you. And I think what some people are finding is that like not getting married works for them, or like, you know, and they can have a child and give that child an incredible life and relationship. But they're not married, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that is the, you know, and then some people are like, no, it needs to be marriage. But I think that we should just open our minds to whatever works for you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Question everything.
Question everything.
Yeah, because I think people are so used to, you know, the world telling them this is the way this works.
Yeah.
And you follow this path because this is what we do in this, you know, this is the rules of life. Yeah. And then people just see it and they're like, okay, cool. And they don't think twice about anything and they just live their lives according to, you know, what they heard or what they've been taught.
Yeah.
So it's like the same thing with marriage. You're like, all right, well, I need to find a boyfriend and then I need to have him propose to me in a very big way and have it recorded at all angles. And then, yeah.
Perfect makeup.
Makeup. And then, I need to have a big or small wedding, whatever, that one's up to you. And then from there I have the honeymoon and then I have to start having kids right away because, you know.
Obviously.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I can't have it like the baby before the marriage, so I have to get married really quick.
Yeah.
So it's just like all these things that people are so used to that I feel like it is changing now though, because I have friends that have kids and they don't get married and they don't mm-hmm. feel bad about it.
Yeah. And it is changing.
Yeah.
It is changing.
Which is awesome. Like, yeah. I feel like we're in the age, too, where everything is just, because we have so much access to information.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's helping things a lot, too.
Yeah.
Like, even with the internet, you just go on and yeah. you find Atticus. You can
you
listen
Google
to poetry.
Should I get married?
Yeah. Yeah. Should I get married? Yes or no?
Yes or no.
The internet tells you. You're
Magic
like,
eight ball. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like kids are so lucky and, like, so unlucky at the same time.
Yeah.
It is true.
Yeah.
It is a double-edged sword what's going on in the world right now.
It's a power and it's how you use it. For good or for evil.
That's true.
You decide.
You decide.
You decide.
But I think that's everything in life. Too much of anything is bad. So it's like,
yeah.
If we use the internet how we should use the internet, it wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
But now kids aren't living life to the fullest. They're not out playing, they're not gonna have memories. They're gonna be like, do you remember that YouTube channel we watched when we were kids?
Like,
we really loved him.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, well, like, I know I have like a million stories that I can tell when I was a kid of how much fun we had and all the things that we did. It's just like, I just feel bad for kids nowadays. They can still that. We still have a whole world outside. They can still do it.
Yeah.
It's just like, do something.
I mean, now they can listen to our podcast.
I'm like, we're like, don't go
play
outside
the baseball game
the
at the same time.
Oh, yeah, podcast.
That's
See,
smart.
That's the smart thing about podcasts. You don't have to watch it.
I know.
Yeah. You can listen to
I
it,
I literally
too.
Was about to say, guys, okay, don't go outside and play if you're going to watch our podcast. And I'm like, oh, wait, you guys listen to it. Yeah,
take us on the go. Download us on iTunes. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, honey.
And then you can watch us on YouTube at night.
Before or in the morning as you get ready.
Yeah. Before school. Yeah.
There's a lot of things. Okay.
All these plugs.
I don't really plug in all this stuff.
So what would you say? Five. I always loved this game. Like, I've made it a game. Like, five things that would just be a no-go for you in a girl.
Like deal breakers?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Deal breakers.
Yeah.
A no-go.
One of the biggest ones right now is like lying.
Oh yeah.
Like if you just get caught in these lies, even like really simple lies, I
didn't leave that on the counter.
What's that? Yeah. Like,
I washed the dish.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, I think it's a slippery slope with lies. Mm-hmm. And you have to really, the incredible thing about telling the truth and being like, you know, living with integrity and being truthful is that you stop having these like split dialogues in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just tell the truth. You're not like, this is the lie I'm telling. This is the reality, mm-hmm. You know? So that's very important.
Yeah.
I think similar values is really important to me. Mm-hmm. An interest in health, you know, just like wanting to eat healthy, wanting to be healthy, wanting to live a long time.
Being the best version of
being
yourself.
The best version. And that's mm-hmm. like the fourth mm-hmm. is like they're progressive. They want to improve. They want to like read books about relationships so they can be the best they can be. And because, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to be the best, you mm-hmm. know, in the relationship I can and bring everything I can to it. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to be met halfway there.
Yeah. Got one more.
And then a love of food.
Yeah,
I love food. And
so you would never date a vegan?
No, sure. Some vegan food's great. I think it's just as long as it's good food.
Yeah.
As long as it's good vegan food.
There's a lot of really good vegan
food.
Yeah.
Well, for some people, they're like, no, I could never date like somebody that doesn't eat meat. Has to eat meat. It's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
I know, you ask someone, ridiculous, it's like their one rule. It's like, you can lie, you can cheat, you can do whatever. But you don't eat meat, done.
You're out of here.
Salt Bae is over there. Like, he's like, you gotta eat meat. That's his like prerequisite for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
No, for a relationship.
For sure. He probably kicks like vegans out of his. Yeah, like, no, vegans wouldn't even walk in there though.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have it to kick them out.
This is for the experience, maybe. I don't know. No, probably not.
They don't want to watch that.
But for your poetry, you write a lot about love.
Yeah.
And is that based? And you also write about like the lack of love,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So it goes both sides of things, because both is a reality, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes how you feel. But do you do that when you're writing? Do you base it off of real life experiences from you? Or do you kind of like go into your imagination and create this own like kind of storyline to base it off of?
Well, I think you said it perfectly, and a lot of people don't always pick up on that. But it's certainly both. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes I'm writing about real life experiences. And that's the easiest to draw from, you know, you just kind of write what you feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, but I do love to imagine myself, you know, imagine myself being, you know, 80 with someone I loved and like me dying or them dying. And what would that make us feel? You know, the person you've been with your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I try to remember back what it was like to be young and in love and that feeling that, you know, this is going to last forever. I love writing about that, like infinite youth and infinite love.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that so powerful. You know, your first relationship, you're like, this is it. This is gonna last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't always like work like that.
It's rare.
But there is something so pure and beautiful about that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely both.
And that's so creatively satisfying too, of just being able to do that, like with your work. Because I mean, because writing about yourself for so long too, you're like, all right, I know. Like, yeah. I get it, self.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like even with artists, like with musicians and stuff, they even sometimes have to go live a crazy experience one day to get that creative juice for their own for their own songs, which is essentially sometimes poetry as well.
No, poetry. I mean, music is poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twerk.
Didn't say all good poetry.
Yeah. It's inspiring. Do you have any of your poetry with you?
I could look at it on my phone.
Can we get a little something?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, we were talking about. I'm just bringing this up here. We were talking about dating in the new age, mm-hmm. and I wrote a quote like a while back, but it started a lot of conversation. And it was just like, you know, a soulmate would be great, but at some point I'd settle for someone who gets back to text messages. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I think it's a conversation that's happening in this like dating culture right now, of people ghosting each other and just not treating each other with kindness. And it's what I was saying before. You just like, it's the lack of connection, a lack of like jumping in with someone. It's just like you're spreading yourself kind of over like all these people.
You know what I think it also is that through texting and you meeting somebody online, you don't have that face-to-face interaction, and people kind of forget
that we're human.
Yeah, it's like not like the because yeah, in a way, because it's like you don't forget that, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm talking to a human, but you're not as like invested in that. Mm-hmm. It's just like so easy already, and it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, okay, they're gone now. Yeah. Like, and you just completely like black out on they ever existed, mm-hmm. which is horrible. Yeah. Imagine if you did that.
I can't really make an impact through a phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, it's a lot harder, and it's a lot harder to read emotions through text.
And the thing is with dating sites, and so, like, people aren't just dating one. You know, back in the day, it's like one or two people, maybe three. Yeah. Nowadays, people have like a whole roster of people, like 10
Rolodex.
Girls,
oh,
like 10 like,
this
guys.
This is my Monday.
Dating. Like,
this is my Tuesday.
That's insane. How do you choose?
Yeah.
And then you don't even want to narrow it down to one because it's like, I have like 10 right now. Yeah. It's like, that's a lot of fun, you know?
I'm juggling 10.
I'm juggling 10.
To me, it sounds stressful.
Oh, dude, never. I would like, I don't even like that many
10
people.
10 people.
I can't even be around that many people.
At that point, when you're saying it like that, those people become possessions almost.
Oh, yeah, it's they're like, collecting them. Like,
yeah, like I got 5.
Yeah.
They're collecting those.
Like
they
are collecting
them. And then they lose one.
I got a Pikachu.
They lose one. One wants to go, so then they have to get back on the app. I got to replace that one.
It's like, oh, that one didn't text me back in 10 seconds. Ouch.
Yeah, you're gone.
Ghosted.
You're done. And it's sad because people might think that might be their only person that they're talking to, and they like him so much. Little do they know, he has 10 other girls he likes, and you're probably number 8 on his list of which one he wants to be with.
He has like these copy and paste texts for you.
Because you always have you always have people that you like. You know, there's like a list of like how many, like in order, like which one you like most.
Yeah.
There's always gonna be the one you like
a little
more.
This is my number one. Number 2 and 3 are tied.
This one can come or go. I don't really care. Like, take it or leave
just
it.
Just floating around. He's like, keep me busy kind of guy.
He's always available. If I'm really bored, he'll come over.
It's that's literally so like, yeah, possessions.
It's so sad.
Let's not do that anymore.
No possessions. No collecting Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
They're trading them.
I know,
he's with his
trading.
Buddies. He's like, dude, I have this really hot girl. I'll trade her for you.
No. Yeah, just she's at this profile. You can have
he
her.
He sends the link. He's like, here you go. Hit her up. Yeah. I won't hit her up anymore. I want your girl now.
It's
I think
so
it's just
true.
Overall, like, whether people realize it or not, because it feels harmless, I'm sure, because they don't have that connection.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like, they don't care. Like,
and they think everyone else is doing it, too. Because for on those
this
sites,
is how it
you're probably
also question everything. They're like, this is how it works.
Everything.
Yeah, this is how we're supposed to do this. It's like, no, we're not.
No, it's so true. It's sad where it's going. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out, because I think we're at a precipice in like human society where we need to come back to that connection or people are going to be really, really sad.
Yeah. Put in your profile, just respect me.
Yeah, that's true.
What
I'm also
scared about is like the youth, like, I feel like kids aren't even going to know how to connect to people because, you know, it's like when we were young, we would make phone calls. We would have to talk in person all the time. Like, you know, like now kids don't even have to talk in person. Like now I've like hung out with like little kids or I've seen them. It's so weird. It's like they have no like human connection because they're doing everything on the phone. They're like, you know, they FaceTime their friends, or they don't even call them, or they like text
there's,
them.
It's there's the like, flip side of that too. Like, I totally get what you're saying, but like, even not all of the kids are like that, and I know you're not saying all of them mm-hmm. are, but a lot of them are a lot smarter than kids like from when we were young too. Like, they're so well educated from just being able to have a question and type it in and find an immediate answer. And mm-hmm. they're like interested and aware.
It's like a different type of smart though. It's like, yeah. do they know how to write? How's their handwriting? Do they know? It's like, yeah. like you
but
like.
But why do we, I mean, why do we really need handwriting anymore? I have really shitty handwriting.
Have you tried handwriting recently? It's so
hard. It's so weird. I'm just saying, say something happened to, say something happened to electronic, like, it was, like, say, because, like technology is never promised. Like, it can go down right now. It could never be seen again.
Go down right now.
We don't know. You don't know how to write. You don't know how to do, like, normal things. Like,
it's true.
So I'm just saying they're smart, but in a different way.
Yeah.
I think they can write though.
Dude, I don't know. In school they have iPads. Yeah. I don't even know how to write anymore. Just kidding. I know. But you know when you do it, it's like, oh my god, what is happening? I don't like this.
I think I write my S's backwards.
Really?
I've always been
But
like
guys,
but they say even some of the smartest people have the worst handwriting, but like doctor handwriting.
But the thing is, think about this too. You know when you're on your iPhone? You know when you're on your iPhone and you're typing, you're texting, you don't even have to think. It auto-corrects for you. So you don't even know how to spell. But these kids probably don't know how to spell. They know how to ask questions about sex and shit.
Before that, though, they were just spelling it wrong every day and never even knowing that how to spell it right. They were just like, all right, that's good.
You have to learn how to do it. Now, it's like you're probably doing an essay on your computer, and it's auto-correcting. You're doing it on your iPad. It's auto-correcting.
Hey, Siri,
I'm not saying that they're not smart.
Siri
I'm just
taught me.
They're probably more mature in their questions.
How to spell maintenance.
Things more. But it's not. Because the thing, the iPhone dumbs you down. The iPhone's smarter than us.
Yeah, so surround yourself with people that you want to be as smart as. That's not the quote, but like.
Yeah, you are the five people you surround yourself with.
I have five iPhones. That's why I have five iPhones around me at all times.
You're like, I'm good.
I have an iPad. I have three iPhones over here.
I'm
like, guys, I'm with my. What was
you
over
just
here.
Start glitching? I'm
like, yeah.
So do you have any poetry?
I do, yeah.
I know, we just went so
like a little tangent. Yeah, I like
it. A little passionate.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with everything. There's always going to be like different like views on things, like different ways to look at things.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. You can, every single thing. We could have the same conversation about a chocolate chip cookie. Because you might like it, I might hate it.
I love chocolate chip.
I hate chocolate chip cookies.
See, there we go.
What type of human?
But I love cookies, but just not. I don't like,
you don't like
chocolate.
Like,
I don't really like chocolate.
Oh, yeah,
cookies.
She ate a Lara bar yesterday and she took all the chips out.
Yeah, I hate chocolate chips and stuff. Ugh, it's so gross to me.
Makes me not trust
Celebrate.
You.
Celebrate.
No.
Well, maybe I don't trust you because you like it.
Touché. All right. Let's hear the poetry.
Okay, so this is a poem. I remember I was talking about my little sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when she found out she was getting married the next year, and she asked me to write a poem for her and her fiance, and so this is the poem I wrote for her to read.
Aww.
It's called My Fate. Does the sun promise to shine? No, but it will. Even behind the darkest clouds, it will. And no promise will make it shine longer or brighter, for that is its fate. To burn until it can burn no more. So to love you is not my promise, it is my fate. To burn for you until I can burn no more.
Aww,
that's so sweet.
Are you tearing up?
No.
She's like crying.
I get emotional.
I'm like, oh damn.
I'm the one that's like, I'm not gonna cry at the wedding.
She's like throwing down.
Yeah, just tears. Yeah, that's so sweet though, and that's so true. I get it. Let me interpret. So, and when you're getting married, it's like, yeah, you have so much love and you see all that light already, love is light. And then as the relationship goes on, there can be things that happen in the relationship and you think it's not there anymore, but the love is always there.
Yeah.
It just has to fight through those clouds and come through.
Amen,
wow.
That's it.
I love it. Did she cry?
Thank you. Yes, she did.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's how you know. I feel like weddings are so emotional already. Like, I don't know why.
It doesn't take a lot to just push them over there.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like already just like committing your entire life to somebody.
Yeah. Emotions are running high.
Yeah.
For sure.
Add a poem from your brother. Like,
and
that's going to really.
Did Atticus at this moment?
She did,
this
time? Yeah.
Can you have that guy Atticus right?
Yeah, and then I like leave and come back in a mask. And
I'm like, oh wow, who's
like,
my brother?
She's like, can you please have, no, she's like, can Atticus come to the wedding? You're just like that. She's like, I wish my brother could be here too. Where'd he go?
Do you have one more you could read?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, this is fun.
Okay, so someone get a tissue ready for Amanda.
Well, I'll do like a more fun one. It's just short and it's kind of it's kind of like an aphorism.
Yeah.
But I think it's on theme of the things we've been talking
about.
What's
an aphorism? Sorry.
It's like a turn of phrase.
Okay.
Yeah, short kind of.
Poetry, lingo.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. So you're like,
In all probability, there's a person out there that is almost exactly the same as the one you just lost, except they're a little bit taller, a little bit kinder, and a whole lot better in bed.
Aw, that's a great one.
That's a great one.
We love that one. Because people always feel like their lives are over and then
and they're never going to find anyone better. Like, that was, like, everything to them.
Yeah.
And then you find someone better. Or not even has to be better looking, just, like, better qualities as a person.
Yeah.
Like,
treats you better.
Yeah, exactly. Or just more suited to you, more matched to you. The values align a bit better. And yeah.
I also think that taking that poem and switching out some of the words in there to, like, instead of like taller, it could be like, I don't know, more successful, like
make it fit you, you know.
Yeah, but like not for a person but for life in general.
Oh yeah.
And like even for people who get dark again.
Kind of a humorous one, like better in bed.
Oh yeah, I'm getting dark with it.
She's like trying to get all, okay, morally sound. Like,
No, not the qualities of a person. I'm saying for people that having like issues with figuring out whether or not they want to live anymore, right?
Yeah.
And then just reading that poem.
Yeah, it is getting dark.
But reading that poem, could that, something like that, even reading like two sentences like that or a verse and just being like, oh, like, yeah, my situation will get better.
Yeah.
And I don't have to react in this moment when I feel this way and be impulsive and just, like, do this. Like, that little thought in somebody's head could make them continue living.
Yeah.
Like, and you say we have an effect on people with what we do.
Yeah.
But, like, you for sure probably have such a loyal and strong following because those little messages that you give out, like, make people think, and they always relate it to themselves, and they're able to improve their lives off of the messages that you're sending. Because it's not like, and your poetry is very positive, and it is also very real. So it's like something they can relate to feel like they're not alone too, when it's not like uplifting, happy ones.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, so awesome work. And make sure you guys check him out. And all of his poetry. We'll put the links below in the YouTube video. And for our listeners, just let them know where they could find you.
It's at Atticus Poetry on Instagram.
And where can they find your books?
On Amazon or anywhere books are sold.
Anywhere books are sold. I don't even know where they're sold.
Book type in Atticus Poetry book. Yeah. And then all of them will pop up.
Yeah.
And make sure to send in your diary entries to diary@ohhoneydiary.com.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel, Oh Honey Podcast, and our Instagram, Oh Honey Diary. Follow it.
Follow us now.
And make sure to download our podcast, which is what we would love most, from the Apple Store or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much, Atticus.
Thank you.
See you guys next week.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Oh, honey. Oh, honey.